Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Sports Fiend Show. I'm your host, Ian Mackey, and my co-host.
And I'm Zone.
All right. Now, today, guys, you know, it was on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You got to watch for the sweep. So tonight we'll be breaking down the Super Bowl, you know, quick synopsis of what happened in the Super Bowl and with Cam Newton. Then we're going to break down the NBA All-Star snubs. And then we're going to break down the Eastern Conference. We're almost at the All-Star break. We're almost at the halfway point. Well, there's more than 41 games that have been played. So, but still, this is where we All-Stars get the break, where the veterans get the rest, take their wives on vacation. So, Vince, let's get into it, man. The Super Bowl was Sunday, man. Cam, Super Cam, did not show up. The Broncos, Von Miller was the kryptonite. So, how do you feel about what happened in the Super Bowl with Cam Newton and the Panthers' offense turning the ball over on Sunday?
Well, I just think that, you know, they see Cam didn't have any weapons. I mean, his wide receiver wouldn't catch the ball. I mean, he overthrew a couple passes, but all in all, his wide receiver wasn't getting open and wasn't catching the ball. So now they see that they really need some wide receiver help. The offensive line wasn't blocking good. The tackles, you know, they just need help. Wide receiver, offensive line. I think they'll be all right next year. I just think they need to address those matters, offensive lines and wide receivers, and they'll be all right.
I necessarily didn't have a problem since they made it to the Super Bowl with these wide receivers and with the offensive line. I just feel like at certain points of that game, they turned the ball over. Whether it's the Cotchery catch that wasn't a catch in the first quarter, Tober fumbling the ball, them not even, you know, leaving a running back in Stewart to help block Von Miller. I just feel like the Carolina Panthers just made too many mistakes. I feel like that it was 16-10, and they really didn't do anything to secure the game by that point. And then when they scored their touchdown, it was really over by then. But at the end of the day, the Panthers just turned the ball over too many times for me. Their wide receivers drop balls, yes, but they also turned the ball over too many times. It was turnovers that killed it for me with Carolina, not so much the wide receivers because they made it to the Super Bowl with these wide receivers. They throttled Seattle with those wide receivers. They beat the Cardinals with those wide receivers. So it wasn't so much the wide receivers doing a horrible job. It was just them making mistakes. And in that moment, you can't make those type of mistakes in that particular Super Bowl. You just can't do it. You just can't do it.
Well, like you said, they didn't have time. Because Von Miller and Ware was killing them on the end. I mean, they just didn't have time. And like I said, if they had some wide receivers they can get open, better wide receiver, Corey Benjamin, somebody else, they probably would have been better. But I'm not saying they would have won, but I think it would have been a better game for them. Like I said, they improve the wide receiver core next year, they'd probably be all right.
Well, I will apologize for the Saturday that you may be hearing. We're really working on the technical difficulties. But, Vince, you know, we really ain't really in the football. It's basketball season. We are truly in the midst or in the heart of the NBA season right now. We're at the All-Star break. The All-Stars were announced. You know, All-Star weekend is approaching in Toronto. Out of the All-Stars, outside of LeBron James, Paul George, in the Eastern Conference, who do you feel the fans get it wrong with putting D-Wade in the starting lineup over Jimmy Butler this year?
No, I think they got it wrong this year by putting D-Wade in the starting lineup. I think they probably should have put Jimmy Butler or even DeMar DeRozan in the starting lineup. I just think that D-Wade, the year that D-Wade's having, he having a good year, a comeback year, but still Jimmy Butler or DeRozan would have been better suited in the starting lineup.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not so much DeMar DeRozan. I mean, he's good, but if I had to pick, if the fans had to do it right, it would have been Jimmy Butler for me. Jimmy Butler's earned that spot all year. He's played great. He has done phenomenal things this season for Chicago Bulls. I mean, Derrick Rose ain't the same player. Paul Gasol ain't 26, 27 anymore. So Jimmy Butler's truly carried the team in the midst of adding a new coach and a new system, he's really taking his game to the next level. The more we try to compare him to Jordan, as people try to do, the more he says he don't want to be like Jordan. He just want to be Jimmy Butler. And by any standpoint, no player wants to be compared to that legend. You just won't compare it. You won't get six wins. You won't dominate the league like that. You can only be who you are. And I find it real interesting that Jimmy Butler just found his way from Marquette to being a defensive player to being like an all-around great player this year. And it's sad, breaking news, that, you know, he won't be playing an All-Star game this year because he has, like, a knee issue, so he's going to be out the next 3 to 4 weeks. So they'll have Paul Gasol take his place, but I just felt the fans got it wrong for the first time. The fans got it wrong. Well, the start, and the fans get it wrong some years, too. You know, it's just a unique situation to have the fans vote in the starters and these players not get it right all the time. Tyronn Lue gets the coach, which I thought was the wrong way. I know it was Black getting fired, but I thought it should be Dwayne Casey. Toronto's the second best team in the East. I thought the NBA should have, like, you know, since you only won 3 games, Tyronn Lue, and you are in charge of the Cavaliers now, top team in the NBA. As of right now, I would have gave it to Dwayne Casey. I feel like that would have been the best case scenario for the All-Star game this year. What you think, Vance?
Well, like you said, Jimmy Butler has had a good year this year, but as you stated, Dwayne Casey in Toronto has had a good year. That's why I would think about putting DeRozan in the starting lineup, because Toronto is 35-16 this year, led by Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Jimmy Butler has had a good year, but the Bulls are 27-24. Not saying all that on Jimmy Butler back, but the game is in Toronto. Why not start DeRozan, especially over D-Wade? But as far as Tyronn Lue goes, yeah, I think Dwayne Casey should have been the coach in the All-Star game. But Lue hasn't been there, but like you said, he has won 3 or 4 games this year. I mean, they almost lost many games as they lost with Black. So I think that they missed on Dwayne Casey, a good opportunity to let Dwayne Casey coach our coach.
Yeah, you make a pretty good point. Now, for the Eastern Conference, man, for the Western Conference, the snub to me was Damian Lillard. I mean, you know, Kobe makes it, you know, his last All-Star game. Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook. And the fans did get it wrong with letting Kobe start with the Lakers record being what it was. But we understand it's his last All-Star game. I'm a Lakers fan, so I feel some type of way with James Harden. Maybe I wouldn't put James Harden on the list this year. I mean, how bad they're really playing, and they're not playing up to the caliber that they played last year. You know, I like James Harden as a player, but the Rockets are 27-26. Portland is 26-27. And yes, the Rockets right now have the 7th spot if the playoffs started right now. But no one thought Portland was going to win over 10 games this season. Everybody thought Portland was going to be in the lottery, and they're on the cusp of making the playoffs behind Utah. So, I mean, they're like one game out, or half a game out. So, from LaMarcus Aldridge leaving to Nicholas Batum leaving to Wesley Matthews leaving, we thought Portland was done. And look, they're almost making the playoff in the Western Conference. I mean, that's a testament to Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum and all of them that they're really putting their best foot forward and trying to move on in Portland. And maybe Damian Lillard wasn't the weakest link as everybody would say that he was with LaMarcus Aldridge, because I see LaMarcus Aldridge with the Spurs now, and he's just a shell of himself. He's not the same LaMarcus Aldridge we've seen 2 or 3 years ago.
But you got to look at it. The last 2 games, LaMarcus Aldridge averaged 24 points a game now. So, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge is going to take time in this system, in this first system for LaMarcus Aldridge. He's not the number one option anymore. Kawhi Leonard is the number one option. So you got to look at, it's just not LaMarcus Aldridge show himself. He just got to work in with a new team. He was the man in Portland. And I just think in Portland, you know, you're saying Damian Lillard is a snub and all-star. I mean, who would you take out? You say you would take out James Harden, but James Harden, he averages over 24 points a game. I mean, to me, I understand the record. I understand Golden State has a good team. If I was going to take out anybody, it would be Draymond Green. I know a lot of people are going to say, you know, Draymond Green has a good year. He's been playing good. But he only has 14 points a game. Yes, he's on the winning team. He's on the champions. But if I was going to take anybody out, put Damian Lillard in, it would be Draymond Green. And like you said,
no,
I wouldn't take
Draymond Green out. I mean, the Golden State is dominating the league this year. Draymond Green is having a spectacular season, even though he's playing with two all stars, two superstar players, and Curry and Klay Thompson, and he's getting his numbers because they're spacing the floor. He's doing his part, yes. But to say he don't deserve to make the All-Star team this year, I can't see it. Now, is he one of the best players in the NBA? No. I mean, on that particular team, does he fit that team? Yes. But having that Draymond Green discussion right now about how good he really is as far as, like, top players in the league, I don't see it. I see that he's playing with great superstar players as in Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but as far as, like, yo, top 20? Nah. Because he couldn't do it. If you had to put him on the team by himself, he wouldn't be able to do the things he's doing. The reason he's getting open shots is because, well, you got to lead somebody. You got to help off with somebody. And that's always been a rule in the NBA. You help off the weakest link on the team. Like, whether it's Bogut or him, you have to leave one of those two open because you can't just let Klay and Steph kill you. You have to help off somebody. Who knows the guys you're going to help off of?
That's right. You are right about that. You have to help off Draymond Green. And see, that's why I say that he, you know, like you said, he's good for that particular team. But if you put him on another team or you make him a second option, he is not the same player he is now. That's why I say, now, Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum is carrying Portland themselves. I mean, Damian Lillard, I mean, like you said, if you're going to put anybody with a snub, Damian Lillard with a snub. And I just don't see anybody else that I would take out before I would take out Draymond Green because he's not a star. He has fell into a good situation. And he's making the most of it, though. He is there. So, hey, I'd rather take out Draymond Green.
Yeah, but, you know, the All-Star, there's always going to be players that get snubbed. That's just the way that the league is set up. You're going to have somebody like they really deserve to be on an All-Star team. And you just got to deal with the snubs that come each year. But the big thing for me now is that we're almost at that time of year where trades, rumors, and things are happening. Right around All-Star break, it's like right around the time you get to relax with your family, that the players and you make the All-Star game or go on vacation with your wife, that right after the All-Star break, maybe not even 2 weeks after that, you may be moving. You may be staying in a hotel in a different city for the next couple of months or until the season's over with. And the big trades for me right now, or the rumors that's going around, is that Atlanta is 30-24 in the Eastern Conference. They're the fourth seed right now. And they're talking about trading away their core before All-Star break. Atlanta's been one of those boonholes at the helm, playing the Eastern Conference version of the Spurs. They haven't been that team this year. We thought they were going to make once they get another year in the boonholes system, but Jeff Teague hasn't played well. Paul Millsap, he's been pretty good. He's been in and out the lineup and throws out. Horford But Kyle Korver hasn't played well. Look like he's done after the ankle injury in the playoffs last year. Atlanta just say, hey, if we can't win NBA, if we're not going to win the Eastern Conference, if we're the fourth team in this depleted Eastern Conference now, with Miami being in the fifth, with one game behind them and the Pacers being 28-24 at six, and the Bulls and Pistons are right on their tail by between them two to three games behind them. Maybe they need to shake it up. Maybe they need to say, we're not going to win at all. Let's hit the reset button and let's start over, which isn't a bad thing for them. So, Van, where does Al Horford, Paul Millsap, and Jeff Teague go?
Wow. I really don't know where they go, but I'm like, no, if I think that if you're not going to win, they're still in the middle of the pack every year, even since they had Joe Johnson and Josh Smith. That's the middle of the pack team. So why not break the team up? I mean, you're not going to win with Al Horford. It's simple as nothing. So it's time to just break the team up. See what you can get for the players. If you can't get the value that you want, you keep changing and you make the playoffs where you're at. But at least you have a chance to go out there and see if you can trade Al Horford or Jeff Teague. Even if somebody will take a Kyle Korver, you got to try to get rid of them. Got to see what you can get for them. So I think it's a good idea for Atlanta. A lot of other teams probably need to follow suit, like Milwaukee, Washington. A couple of players in Miami probably need to go, but I just think it's a good idea for them. Just try to get rid of these players.
You know, a lot of teams are going to be looking to see what they can get from Atlanta. I know if you ask for Cleveland really doesn't need anything, just maturity and being consistent. If you look at what Atlanta could trade on what teams need, I think Toronto needs a power forward, maybe getting Paul Millsap, but you don't want to have to give up too much of anything if you're Toronto to try to get a Paul Millsap or actually getting Al Horford. Like, trying to get Al Horford and putting him at the four next to Valanciunas would be a really good thing for them. Maybe if you could try to add another team to take in some of that money or try to get rid of a player too. But Al Horford and Paul Millsap would fit Toronto. Boston, I could see one of them going to Boston. Boston is right in the thick of things. Boston's like a one key card player away, like a all star, but not a all star. Like not a superstar, but an all star. Like who's been an all star, who can maybe give you 30 one night randomly, like a Wesley Matthews, like in Dallas. I'm not speculating about Dallas moving Wesley Matthews and giving him that two guard or figuring something out to where you can help Boston get over that hump with probably bring Avery Bradley off the bench. But Boston's right there at it. Miami could need some help, but moving Hassan Whiteside may be key in getting, and then bringing Al Horford. Now you got Chris Bosh and Al Horford in the pick and roll. But I really feel Jeff Teague's going to go to Indiana. I really feel that the George Hill, Jeff Teague thing works for them. George Hill's in the last year of his contract. The Pacers get trade one Indiana boy for another Indiana boy, a younger Indiana point guard who went to Pike High School here locally. It would be nice for the Pacers to bring a point guard like that. I can't remember the last good point guard they had besides Mark Jackson and Travis Best. Fleming, but he was old. But Hayward Workman, I can't remember a really good guard that they've had that really changed that team. I think Jeff T leaving Atlanta coming home would probably be refreshing to him, and it would probably up the tempo with the Pacers. The Bulls, they can use Jeff T. I don't know about trading Derrick Rose. Listen, Derrick Rose ain't Derrick Rose no more. And with all the injuries they have and with Joakim Noah being out, I don't know how that works for them. But those teams that I'm naming are all in the playoffs that can use a couple of players from Atlanta. If Atlanta want to fall out the hunt of the playoffs, that's all right. I still think with the trades they make, they still hold on and probably become a seventh seed. That they fall out of the four. If they do trade their core, they fall out of the top. four teams and maybe make the seventh or eighth spot with Budenholzer at the helm. And maybe the Pistons need anything, but Pistons just need scoring. They need some players around Draymond, DeAndre Drummond that can score. Ooh, how do you feel, Vance, about the top eight teams that may use a player or two from Atlanta?
Well, like you said, the Pistons, looking at Pistons, they need a scoring two or three. Maybe a player like, not a player from Atlanta, but a player like Joe Johnson or somebody like that. Or even, like, if you want to pair Al Horford with Andre Drummond, if you want to go big, Kyle Korver for spacing, so Andre Drummond can kind of play like Dwight Howard did back in Orlando. They got Van Gundy as the coach. Maybe want to play like that. I think that's what they want to do anyway, but they don't have the shooters to do that. As far as Jeff Teague going to Pacers, I just don't see Atlanta getting rid of Jeff Teague for George Hill, because George Hill, even though he's a decent player, he's not an upgrade from Jeff Teague. I mean, you're saying both of them, like, I mean, George Hill's in last year's contract, and Atlanta make a see what they can do every year over, but I just don't see them trading Jeff Teague for George Hill. Yes, he probably would be a great move for Jeff Teague to go to the Pacers to revitalize his career, but I just don't see it done. But other than that, though, I don't see it. I mean, any way Atlanta go, it's still going to be the same where they are now. Whoever you trade for, you're still in the East. You're behind Cleveland. You're behind Toronto. You're just not going to catch up with them. Especially not this year. So that's what I'm saying. If they clean house, I don't even see them making the playoffs. Because the only person I really see them keeping is Paul Millsap. So I don't know.
I mean, the only other team in the NBA that, I mean, Milwaukee, I mean, they just need to stay pat or just get rid of Greg Monroe. I mean, they were a top team in the NBA last year, a really competitive young team, and we thought adding Greg Monroe may help them. Sometimes when you add a player, it hurts your team, and I think we're seeing that with Milwaukee right now. There's nothing that can do Brooklyn. Maybe have a fire sale, get rid of Brook Lopez, get rid of Joe Johnson. I mean, they don't have that pick anyway, so, I mean, I would try to win as many games as possible to just make sure the team that Boston, who has your pick, don't get a higher pick. I mean, really, Brooklyn's in a tough spot. They don't have their pick. They don't have the players. They're in a tough bind for the next decade, because picks like this and drafts like this don't come along often, and you just wounded yourself for the next decade or two with draft picks. So these draft picks and drafting younger players, and it's hard to get teams don't care about markets no more, because with social media and television stations and the money from all the television networks with the NBA now, it's just hard for players. Like, I'm going to be seen regardless. We got league pass, we got all these things, so there's not much to say, oh, if you come here, you'll get more shine. Yes, it's a bigger city, but the cost of living probably is more, you know. So I don't see Brooklyn pulling in the next big free agents or New York or those teams like that. I mean, with the league being as what it is now, you're not going to lure players like, come play for this big-time market. Yeah, New York is always going to be there. The Knicks are always going to be the Knicks. That's just the nature of it. The Knicks are always going to be the Knicks. Sorry for the yarn. But, I mean, outside of the Knicks, I don't see players going to Brooklyn. I mean, you have to draft. Those teams, the Pistons, the Pacers, Orlando Magic, Milwaukee, 76ers, you're going to have to draft really good players that want to play there. Just the nature of it. The way you guys play, the area that y'all live in, it's hard for players to be attracted to those particular areas. But the Bulls, Miami, Cleveland playing with LeBron, Boston, the legacy there. I mean, yes, to a degree, that doesn't matter. But for some players, it still does. But you have to look at the Knicks. They don't have their pick. Brooklyn doesn't have their pick. Washington's in shambles because Bradley Beal can't stay healthy. They're four games out of the playoff hunt right now. Detroit 27-26. The Wizards are 23-27. If Bradley Beal can't stay healthy and they get on a tear, then they don't make the playoffs. But to me, trying to trade Nene and Gortat to Atlanta for Paul Millsap and Al Horford will really help the Wizards out to this point. The Wizards are in need of veteran players like that who are not injury prone, who miss games on end to help them get back into the Eastern Conference playoff run.
Yeah, if the Wizards could get Paul Millsap and Al Horford, but what is it going to do for Atlanta, though? You got to look at what you're going to get in return. I mean, I just don't see them taking a chance on Nene. Nene stayed hurt all the time. Gortat plays good sometimes, and sometimes he doesn't. I mean, you're just looking at, like I said, in Milwaukee. I just think Milwaukee, you need to really just learn how to play with Greg Monroe. I mean, like you said, they played pretty good last year, but now they're slowing the ball down a little bit because Greg Monroe needs his touches. Greg Monroe is a good center. I mean, he wasn't really a power forward, even though he's a power forward shot. He really wasn't a power forward. I mean, I think they just need to stay packed, like you said, with Greg Monroe. But teams, like you said, the teams like 76ers, the Nets, I mean, they're just going to have to build through the draft and just hope for the best. I mean, 76ers, I just don't see them attracting any free agents. Orlando is another team that, you know, they're going to have to build through the draft. Charlotte is on the outside looking in all the way. They 7, 8, 19. I see them going to be there like that for the future. It's just going to be rough for a lot of these teams. Boston, even though it's a good, they're having a decent season at 31-22. I don't see them doing anything past the first round. If they get past the first round, they'll probably, right now, they'll be playing the Pacers. I can see the Pacers beating them. I can see Boston beating the Pacers. Only two teams in the East that stand out to me, and that's Cleveland and Toronto. Other than that, everybody needs help.
Yeah.
Eastern Conference
is only two teams right now that's going to probably meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. Toronto's playing really great, and Cleveland. That's it. But outside of those two teams, the rest of them are just positioning themselves for a nice little playoff check, and then get bounced out in the first two rounds.
Yeah. And
but like all in all,
like you said, even with trades, I just don't see what the rest of these teams are going to do, except Miami. Miami has a chance with a trade. We talked about earlier on the phone, we're talking about trading Gordon Dragic, I think. Gordon Dragic, if they can get somebody good for Gordon Dragic, because he's not fitting in with Miami. Miami might be able to do something. That's the only team in the East that I see can jump up and contend with Toronto and Cleveland. Other than that, nobody. Washington, you already talked about what type of situation Washington in. Detroit needs shooters. They need scores. They need people in space for Chicago. Jimmy Butler out. Derrick Rose not playing like Derrick Rose. The Pacers only have really Paul George and that's it. Monte Ellis is not really working out for them this year. Turner has been playing good, but he needs more help. You know, the Knicks, they're in shambles. Just fired their coach. I don't see them doing anything for the unseeable future. It's just Cleveland and Toronto.
Cleveland and Toronto. All right, Vance. Well, man, I'll talk to you Thursday, man. It's been a great show. We appreciate everybody listening. And we will talk to you Thursday. Peace out.
All right, Joe.